I greet you all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Deeply Rooted with me, your host, Sinazo Goss. This is a podcast where we discuss and delve deeper into the intimate conversations we all have with our Heavenly Father. Welcome to it, beloved. Welcome to another episode of Deeply Rooted. This is, as you know, a podcast where we help each other grow in our relationships with God. This is where we help each other navigate, you know, the issues of life and also answer difficult questions, you know, through the lens of the Word of God, trying to get God's perspective on these particular issues that we go through. So welcome to it. Welcome to another episode, beloved. We are growing as a family. Thank you so much for the listens. Thank you for the subscribers. I really, really appreciate it. And I am glad that this is having a great impact on your life. So may God bless you. And let's keep keeping on. So today we will be talking about something that has been on my mind, you know, for the longest time, actually, for as long as I can remember. And that thought came again in my mind recently when I saw something, a discourse that's been happening, that was happening on social media. And it just took me to that conversation that I once had with the Heavenly Father. And that conversation, or that thought, or that question I've had for a long time, is the issue of value. What determines our value? What determines how valuable and worthy we are, and what determines, you know, our identity and what defines us. So there's so many things, you know, that society and the world places emphasis on and attaches value to. And whether it's money, whether it's the choices that you make, good choices or bad choices, somehow society has succeeded in attaching value to certain things and certain choices, right? But the standard of defining is different when it comes to the world, society, and when it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to the relationship we have with God. So what even is value? You might be asking yourself. I mean, people do know what it is in essence, but the dictionary definition of it is the regard something is held to deserve, the importance, worth, or usefulness of something or someone, right? So how important it is, how worthy it is, you know. And basically, in a nutshell, that's what value is. You know, how valuable you are, how worthy you are of certain things or a certain lifestyle, or to be called a certain someone, or to be deserving of certain things. What is your value? What defines you? You know, what is your identity? What makes you valuable in your identity? So to understand this from the Word of God, we need to understand that there's a divide, as I said in the beginning, you know, between understanding value from how society defines it and from how God defines it through the Word of God, right? So let's just look at the book of Ephesians, for example, chapter 2, verse 8 to 9. It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." I'll just read it again. It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." So at the beginning it says, it is by grace that you have been saved. So in a nutshell, to explain grace is God's unmerited favor. It's what God does for you, what God gives to you without you having to do anything for it. That is the grace of God. So it says, for by grace you have been saved, right? So for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And what does it mean for us to be saved? For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. So being saved means to be redeemed from a life that is separate from God, basically. So if you are living a life and you haven't given your life to Christ, you don't have a relationship with God, it means you're not redeemed, and therefore you are living a life that is separate from God. You haven't given your life to Him. You haven't chosen to have a life that prioritizes your relationship with Him, meaning you are just living by yourself and you are open to literally be a victim of the enemy's attacks, or a victim of just a life in general that doesn't have God in it. So being saved is being redeemed from that life and being united with God, you know. So there will be an episode where I just explain and go into the nitty-gritties and explain the complexities of how Jesus and His death and resurrection ensured that we are reunited and reconnected with God. But being saved in a nutshell means that, you know, being saved from a life that is separate from God and being united with God. And it says you have been saved by grace through faith, meaning only your belief counts in you being saved and redeemed. So your belief in God, your belief in His grace through Christ and through the work that He has done on the cross, you believing that, believing in Him, believing that He has called you to Himself and wants you to be saved and redeemed, that is the only requirement for you to be saved, right? And not only are you saved from a life that is separate from God, you are also saved into a new identity, right? So, for example, it says in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, you know, we were chosen, like I'm paraphrasing, the scripture says we were chosen before even the foundations of the earth were laid, before the world was created. So as much as we are the ones that make that conscious decision to say, okay, I'm giving my life to Christ, I'm accepting Him as Lord and Savior, we are making that decision, but our heart posture is a posture that God has worked on, and it's something that He ordained even before the earth was laid, that He would save us and He would choose us. You know, Jesus also says this when He speaks to His disciples, that I didn't choose you, you chose me, you know. And as much as you are the one who made that choice in the physical, but spiritually and in your heart posture, He's the one who worked in you for you to say yes to the call of being His follower, of having a relationship with Him. So being saved to a new identity. The book of 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's a special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. So this basically encompasses everything that we are. This is not all. There's many parts in scripture that describe the fact that we've been saved to a new identity, right? But this scripture puts it in a very beautiful way. It says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. So think about it. It says we are a royal priesthood. We who have given our lives to Christ, who have a relationship with God, we are a royal priesthood. So in the spiritual realm, we know that Christ is the King above all kings. You know, God, the creator of heaven and earth, is above all things, all powers, all spirits, everything. So if He's the King of kings, it means we are royalty. We, His sons, His daughters, we are royalty. So that's what the scripture says. It says we are a royal priesthood. We are God's a special possession. Imagine that. Like, imagine getting a gift from a friend, for example, and it's something that you've wanted for a long time. You know, let's say it's the latest iPhone or whatever it is, you know, and it's something that you've wanted for so long. When you get gifted that, it becomes your special possession. You hold it tightly. You make sure that nothing comes near it, nothing messes it up, because it's your special possession. So this scripture says we are God's a special possession, right? So when we get saved, when we give our lives to Christ, we are given that new identity of being God's special possession. You know, when God looks at us, He looks at, and when He looks at you, particularly as an individual, He looks at His most prized possession, His special possession, you know. So that's what it means to be saved. We are saved from a life that is separate from God, and we are saved to a new identity. And it also says that the scripture that I read before says, for it's by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God, not by works, so no one can boast about it. You know, the Bible says it clearly that you can never ever boast by saying, you know, I'm a child of God, I did this, I gave my life to Christ, I have a relationship with God, because it is not your own doing, you know. And it says, you know, in the other scripture that I mentioned in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, that it was God decided before even the world was created that we were going to be his, we were going to have a relationship with him. So it is by his grace, it is through him and the decision that he made and the unmerited favor that he gave to us that we may be called his, that we may have an identity that says that we're royalty, we are his special possession, we are, you know, made new in him, and we are saved from a life that is separate with from him, right? So it's nothing that we can take credit for, it's nothing that we can boast about, but it's something that we should thank God for, because it is through him and it is by his grace, right? So as I said, we've been saved from a life separate from God. We've been saved to a new identity. And us being a royal priesthood, us being royalty in our being, at the essence of our being, at our core, means that because Christ is the King of Kings, because our Father is the King of Glory, the King of the world, the undefeated Most High God, we are royalty. We are a royal priesthood. We are God's special possession. You know, through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, through everything that he afforded us to have and be called, and through the fact that us accepting him and giving our lives to him, we are then called his children, we are saved from a life separate from him. That is where our value lies. That is where our value lies. Our value lies in him being our God, in him choosing us to be his, in him saying we are his special possession, in him saying we are his royal priesthood, we are a chosen nation, we've been called out of darkness into the light. So that is who we are, and that is where our value and our identity lies. It does not lie in what we have, it does not lie in what we've done, it does not lie in what we've not done. You know, it does not lie in our choices, in our achievements. I mean, yes, as I said in the beginning, in the world, the standards of the world and the standards of the Word of God are two different things. So we need to pick a side eventually, beloved. We need to pick a side as to who defines us and what defines us. If we've given our lives to Christ, if we have a relationship with God, we know that what defines us is the Word of God. What defines us are God's standards. What defines us is not what the world says. It's not whether we have money or whether we don't have money. It's not whether we've made bad choices or good choices. It's not anything else but the fact that God chose us even before the foundations of the earth were laid. Even before he created the world, that's when he chose us to be his. And it is by grace that we have been saved through faith, not by our own works. We can't boast about it. So that's where our value lies, in us being a royal priesthood, in us being God's special position. And that's what makes us valuable. And maybe some of you may be asking, okay, Snazo, but like, what about the choices we make? Do they not change our value and whether we are worthy of certain things? Okay, let me make an example. For example, there's a story that Jesus tells in the Bible about the prodigal son. A lot of people have heard about it, but if you've never heard about it, I'll just summarize it. So there were two sons, and the other son said to his father, and they were living with his father, with their father rather. So this other son said, "Father, give me my inheritance. I want my inheritance now. And I will see what I do with it." And we know that an inheritance is only received when the father dies. But this particular son decided to be rebellious and just go against the status quo and be like, "You know what? I want my inheritance and I will do what I want with it." And the father gave him the inheritance, and he took the inheritance and he went to a faraway land. And the Bible says when he got to that land, he literally was living wild. He was partying. He was spending his money, his inheritance on, you know, drinking. And I'm assuming if it was these days, he would be spending it on drugs. And the Bible even says he spent it on prostitutes, you know, sleeping with all kinds of women, doing whatever he wants, basically, right? And eventually money comes to an end, right? The inheritance got splurged and finished. And then he found himself in a pigsty, working at a pigsty in a pig farm, right? And when he was in that pig farm, that's when it hit him. And he had a moment of realization to say, "But in my father's house, even servants are living better. I shouldn't be living like this, like in a pigsty with pigs, you know? So I will go back to my father. And I will repent and tell him that, Dad, I'm not worthy to be called your own because of what I've done. But I've just come home because it didn't work out there, you know, and life is really hard out there." And then he went back home. When he went back home, the Bible says even before he could open his mouth and speak to his father, the Bible says His father rejoiced when he saw him coming from a distance, saying, "Oh my gosh, there's my son. There's my son. Let's celebrate his back. Let's give him, you know, the best robe. Let us slaughter the fattest sheep because we are celebrating that my son was lost and now he's found." So Jesus was basically teaching us through this story and this parable that he was still a son. Right. And in his mind, he was thinking that because I've messed up, because I left, because I spent my inheritance in a way that, you know, doesn't honor God, you know, I lived a life of sin. I just can't come back. I'm just not worthy to come back to God and be his son. I can't come back to my father and be his son again. I'm not worthy. And that's what he said when he got home, that, you know, Dad, I'm not worthy to be called your own. But the father did not change his vocabulary. He did not change and say, "You're not my son anymore, you know, and where have you been? Why did you do this, this and that, you know, and because of what you've done, you are right. You're not worthy to be called my son." But the father was so happy. He was so overjoyed to say, you know, "Welcome back, my son. You were lost. Now you're found. I'm celebrating. I will give you the best of the best. I will slaughter the fattest calf for you, you know." So that just shows that even the choices we make don't take away from our sonship. It doesn't take away from the fact that our identity is in Christ. It doesn't take away from the fact that we are a royal priesthood. We are God's special possession. Now, it does not mean that the choices that we make don't have consequences, right? Choices do have consequences, right? I mean, I've been seeing this discourse happening on social media that there's been a chat happening on social media about how women, particularly who have had children outside of marriage, are now without value. They have lost their value. They're not worthy for certain things, right? And okay, that's well and fine according to the world, according to society. That is a standard of society. But if you're a child of God, if you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have a relationship with God, the Bible says something else. The Bible says you are a royal priesthood. You are God's special possession. You were saved by grace, not by faith, not through anything you've done or not done, right? So that is what the Bible says. And the discourse that's happening is all well and fine. Hence, I said, if you have accepted Christ and have a relationship with God, at some point you need to pick a side as to what defines you and where you draw your value from. If you choose to follow the standards of society and of the world that say, if you are without money, if you have a child outside of marriage, if this, this and that, then your value is diminished. Fine, you can choose to follow that. But if you follow what the word says, we have been saved, right? And God decided even before the creation of the world that he would call us his. And no matter what we do, no matter what we don't do, God displayed it. I mean, Jesus displayed it through the story of the prodigal son, that he went away and he did all sorts of things when he was in the world. We don't know how many people he got pregnant. The Bible doesn't go in detail as to, okay, he had so many baby mamas. He went out and he drank and he did all of this. But it's clear that he just lived a life that is literally not honoring his father, that doesn't honor God. But when he returned home, his father welcomed him with open arms to say that, "You are my son. You know, you were lost and now you're found, and I'm celebrating your return because you're my son." And in his mind, he thought, "I'm no longer worthy." And that's what he said when he entered the yard, saying, "Father, I'm not worthy to be called your son because of what I've done." But his father's vocabulary did not change, right? So it doesn't mean that the choices we make don't have consequences, right? You will definitely have to, unfortunately, suffer the consequences of your actions, right? And one consequence of acting in ways or making choices that don't honor God is that it will separate you from God. I mean, look at what happened to the prodigal son. The prodigal son went to a faraway land, and even when his money was finished, the first thought in his mind was not to, "Okay, well, let me go home." It was working at a pigsty, working with pigs on a pig farm, you know, because he thought and he could feel that, okay, now I'm separated from the father. And that's what happens to us as well, beloved. I mean, you will know this if you've engaged in something that doesn't really honor God or something that's against his word. You will have that feeling in your heart that convicts you to say, "I was not supposed to act like this. I was not supposed to do this." And the enemy, the devil, capitalizes on that because he makes you believe that, okay, now you're no longer worthy to be called his child. Now your value has diminished. But that's not the truth according to the word. The word of God says, as long as you turn back to the Father, as long as you repent and turn to him, you are still his daughter, you are still his son, your value is still intact. Nothing changes you from being God's special position. Nothing changes you from being a royal priesthood. I mean, think about it. Even if your worldly or your physical parents, rather, would choose to disown you, but it doesn't change the fact that you were born by your mom and your dad, right? You were born into that family and you have that surname, right? The same applies in the kingdom of God, that if we gave our lives to Christ, if we accepted him as Lord and Savior, we have a relationship with God. We are his. We are his special possession. We are a royal priesthood. So that is where our value lies, beloved. That's where our value lies. And that's what should always be at the forefront of our minds, that it is not by our works. It is not by whatever we've done or not done, but it is through grace, unmerited favor. It is through faith that we have been saved, you know. So I'm really praying for you. I'm really praying for myself, because a lot of the time it does happen that we are deceived to think that whatever we've done or what we've not done or whatever it is, you know, that the world might say diminishes our value is indeed the case. But the truth is in the word of God that we've been saved by grace through faith, and we've been saved from a life that is separate from God. We've been saved to a new identity, that we are now the royal priesthood. We are God's special possession. We've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. So that is who we are, beloved. And it's actually so sad that a lot of people are caught up in that mindset that, you know, certain things diminish their value. But knowing and growing in your relationship with God will make you realize that your value is only in Christ. It is only in God. And I pray for you that it's something that always comes up at the forefront of your head when whatever tries to tell you that your value is diminished because of what you've done, because of what you've not done, and whatever else thing that you've been through that has tainted you according to society's standards. But God's standards say you are still his child, you are still valuable in his sight. And that is it for this week's episode, beloved. Don't forget to subscribe to Iono FM, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and also there are other podcasts as well under Times Live. You know, we've got Taking the Rams by the Horns, Business Day Spotlight, the SL Cabinet, and so many more. So be sure to definitely check them out. And that is it, beloved. Until next time, remember, you are loved, you are valued, you are God's special possession. God bless.